This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Stay tuned for our bulletin of church news, which will be followed by Panorama, and then our features, Echo of the African Synod and the Millennium Appointment. I am John Baptist Tumusime. Pope Francis has authorized the Dicastery for the Causes of Saints to promulgate the decrees that open for the beatification and canonization of four servants of God. We have a report.
The Church will soon have three new saints and a new blessed, as well as a new venerable, after Pope Francis authorized the publication of decrees related to several causes of canonization on Monday. The Pope cleared the path to canonization for Blessed Peter Torot, a layman martyred for the faith in present-day Papua New Guinea. During the Japanese occupation of PNG during the Second World War, Blessed Peter continued his catechetical mission to prepare couples for marriage. When his pastoral activity was forbidden, he carried out his apostolate in secret, and he staunchly defended the sanctity of marriage and opposed the practice of polygamy. He even confronted his older brother, who had taken a second wife and who later reported him to the police. Blessed Peter Torot was sentenced to 2 months in prison, where he died of poisoning in July 1945. The Pope also cleared the way for the canonization of Blessed Ignatius Maloyan, who was born in 1869 in Mardin in present-day Turkey. Ordained a priest in 1883 in Lebanon, he became known as an excellent preacher in both Arabic and Turkish. After Turkish forces entered the First World War, Archbishop Maloyan was arrested along with 13 priests and 600 other Christians. Archbishop Maloyan and his companions were executed in June 1915 when they refused to renounce the faith. Venezuela will also have its first native-born saint, as the Pope recognized a miracle attributed to Blessed Maria del Monte Carmelo. The miracle attributed to her intercession involved the 2015 healing of a young woman in Caracas with a heart condition. Pope Francis also recognized a miracle attributed to Father Carmelo de Palma, an Italian priest from Bari, who dedicated himself to offering spiritual direction for priests, nuns, and seminarians. The Pope also recognized the heroic virtues of Servant of God José Antonio de Maria Ibiapina, a 19th century Brazilian politician turned priest. I'm Devin Watkins.
The bishops of the Sudan and the Southeast Sudan Catholic Bishops' Conference issued a statement at the weekend calling upon all parties involved in the ongoing political and military crisis in the country to refrain from violence and resolve their differences through dialogue. The statement followed the arrest of the first vice president and leader of the Southeast Sudanese People's Liberation Movement in opposition, Dr. Riek Machar, and the detention of several members of his party on grounds that they are supporting a militia group known as the White Army that attacked and overran a government garrison recently in Upper Nile State. Several members of Mr. Machar's party who were serving in the South Sudan transitional government were either dismissed or have fled the country. The bishops said in the statement that they were saddened by the escalation of violence and the deteriorating political climate in the country. They lamented the ongoing displacement of thousands of civilians, some of whom crossing into neighboring Ethiopia, noting that what is happening is a tragic reverse of peace South Sudanese have longed and prayed for. The bishops cautioned that the arrest of opposition leaders and the involvement of foreign military forces, especially the deployment of Ugandan troops, has only served to heighten fear and mistrust. Such actions risk turning South Sudan into a battleground for external interests and political manipulation, the bishops said. Last Wednesday, representatives of South Sudan's faith groups held a meeting with President Salva Kiir, who promised them that he would restore peace in the country. Pope Francis visited South Sudan in early 2023 to give support to the peace process. After learning of the resumption of fighting, he at the weekend called upon all the parties in the 2018 peace agreement to return to dialogue. Catholic bishops in Niger have sent a message to the Muslim community in the country wishing them well in the feast of Eid al-Fitr, which is celebrated at the end of the holy month of Ramadan. The bishops also used the occasion to extend their sympathies to the Muslim community over the recent terrorist attack at a mosque in the village of Tambita, in which 44 worshippers were killed and 13 others were injured. They assured the community of their prayers and extended their condolences to the families of the victims and wished the injured a quick recovery. They invited Muslims and Christians to unite to overcome evil and hatred by working together for peace, security, reconciliation, and social cohesion. Reports from Nigeria say thousands of people participated in a three-day peaceful protest that started last Tuesday in the diocese of Auchi, demanding improvement in security and an end to kidnappings. The protesters included mothers and fathers who carried posters saying that their children were being killed, their daughters were being raped, and that they were afraid to go to the farm to cultivate food, to go to the market to buy necessities of life, and to go to church to pray. They called upon the federal government to enact severe laws against abductions and terrorism. Several Catholic priests, seminarians, religious, and lay people have been kidnapped by gunmen for ransom in Auchi. The kidnappers demand huge sums of money to release the victims. Some of the abductees have been killed after their superiors and relatives had failed to pay, and others are still missing. The Association of Consecrated Women in Eastern and Central Africa concluded recently a one-week training workshop for formators in Uganda's capital, Kampala. The workshop was sponsored by Miss Yoaken, and it focused on resource mobilization, Catholic social teaching, and the gift of human sexuality in the life of consecrated women. One of the trainers, Father John Bosco Kamoga, who is the provincial superior of the Congregation of the Holy Spirit Missionaries in Uganda, invited the formators to always be sincere to themselves by acknowledging their failures and to allow God to work with and through them. He also challenged them to take seriously Catholic social teaching and to always be close to the people they serve. The Association of Consecrated Women in Eastern and Central Africa has conducted similar training workshops in Ethiopia, Zimbabwe, Zambia, Malawi, Eritrea, and Tanzania. You are tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Lassa fever killed 118 people in Nigeria in the first 3 months of this year, the West African country's Center for Disease Control and Prevention said. This virus, which is carried by rodents and was first recognized in 1969 in the northeastern state of Borno, has killed thousands of people over the years, especially in rural areas due to unsanitary handling of food. Despite years of campaigning on how to prevent the disease, there have been no significant improvements in environmental hygiene of impoverished rural Nigerians that could prevent rats from accessing homes, food and utensils. Nigeria has been recording around 100 deaths from Lassa fever every quarter recently. In other developments in Nigeria, boxer Gabriel Oluwasegun Olanrewauju has died after collapsing during a light heavyweight bout in Ghana on Saturday. Oluwasegun, a former national and West African champion in his weight class, lost consciousness in the third round of his Ghana Professional Boxing League fight against Ghanaian boxer John Mbanugu at the Bukom Boxing Arena in Accra. The Ghana Boxing Authority confirmed the news of his death, stating the fact that after receiving first aid, he was rushed to Kolebu Teaching Hospital, where he was pronounced dead 30 minutes after arrival. Oluwasegun had an official record of 23 fights with 13 victories and 8 defeats before his bout with Mbanugu. A convicted war criminal based in Uganda has announced a new rebel movement intent on toppling the government in eastern Congo's Ituri province, thus creating another potential security threat in the war-scarred region. The formation of the Convention for the Popular Revolution by Thomas Lubanga comes as Congo's army faces an unprecedented advance by Rwandan-backed M23 rebels elsewhere in eastern Congo. The International Criminal Court secured its first conviction against Lubanga in 2012 on charges of recruiting child soldiers and sentenced him to 14 years in prison. He was released in 2020 and President Felix Tshisekedi appointed him to a task force to bring peace to Ituri. But in 2022, he was taken hostage for 2 months by a rebel group, which he blames on the government. In written responses to questions from Reuters, Lubanga said the Convention for the Popular Revolution had both political and military elements. The leader of Sudan's paramilitary rapid support forces, Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, said on Sunday that his war against the army was not over and his forces would return to Khartoum despite being largely driven out of the capital. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
The African Synod, the Church Alive in Africa Today.
Hello and welcome to this special edition where we take a journey back in time to recall a historic moment, Pope Benedict XVI's first apostolic visit to Africa, which took place 16 years ago this month. During his 8-year pontificate from 2005 to 2013, Benedict XVI made 2 apostolic journeys to Africa. He undertook his first trip to Africa as Pope, the 11th international trip of his pontificate in 2009, visiting Yaoundé, capital of Cameroon, from the 17th to the 20th of March, and then to the Angolan capital, Luanda, from the 20th to the 23rd of March. Benedict will later say that his visit was limited to the 2 countries, but intended to embrace in spirit all the African peoples and to bless them in the Lord's name. High on the agenda of the visit to Cameroon was the promulgation of the Instrumentum Laboris, or working document, of the Second African Synod during Mass on the Feast of St. Joseph on the 19th of March in Yaoundé's Amadou Ahidjo Stadium. At a welcome ceremony on the 17th of March, Benedict XVI spoke about the hope that faith in Christ brings and for Christians not to remain silent in the face of the many challenges facing the continent.
Almost 10 years into the new millennium, this moment of grace is a summons to all the bishops, priests, religious, and lay faithful of the continent to rededicate themselves to the mission of the Church to bring hope to the hearts of the people of Africa and indeed to people throughout the world. Even amid the greatest suffering, the Christian message always brings hope. The life of St. Joseph in Bakita offers a shining example of the transformation that an encounter with the living God can bring to a situation of great hardship and injustice. In the face of suffering or violence, poverty or hunger, corruption or abuse of power, a Christian can never remain silent. The saving message of the gospel needs to be proclaimed loud and clear so that the light of Christ can shine into the darkness of people's lives.
Strengthening the bonds of African families was very dear to his heart, and in his homily before presenting the working document of the Second African Synod, he presented St. Joseph and the Holy Family of Nazareth as a model for African families.
Dear fathers and mothers here today, do you have trust in God, who has called you to be the fathers and mothers of his adopted children? Do you accept that he is counting on you to pass on to your children the human and spiritual values that you yourselves have received and which will prepare them to live with love and respect for his holy name? At a time when so many people have no qualms about trying to impose the tyranny of materialism with scant concern for the most deprived, you must be very careful. Africa in general, and Cameroon in particular, place themselves at risk if they do not recognize the true author of life. Brothers and sisters in Cameroon and throughout Africa, you, who have received from God so many human virtues, take care of your souls. Do not let yourselves be captivated by selfish illusions and false ideals. Believe, yes, continue to believe in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He alone truly loves you in the way you yearn to be loved. He alone can satisfy you, can bring stability to your lives. Only Christ is the way of life. God alone could grant Joseph the strength to trust the angel. God alone will give you, dear married couples, the strength to raise your family as he wants. Ask it of him. God loves to be asked for what he wishes to give. Ask him for the grace of true and ever more faithful love patterned after his own. As the psalm magnificently puts it, his love is established forever. His loyalty will stand as long as the heavens. If discouragement overwhelms you, think of the face of Joseph. If anxiety has its grip on you, think of the hope of Joseph, the descendant of Abraham, who hoped against hope. If exasperation or hatred seizes you, think of the love of Joseph, who was the first man to set eyes on the human face of God in the person of the infant conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Let us praise and thank Christ for having drawn so close to us and for giving us Joseph as an example and model of love for him.
Later in Yaoundé, he met with the sick and disabled at the Cardinal Paul Emile Leger Center, a touching encounter that highlighted the Church's mission of compassion. During the meeting, he spoke about the dignity of every human life, from conception to natural death, and reassured those suffering that they were not alone. You are not alone in your pain. Christ is close to all those who suffer.
Dans cette douleur, vous n'êtes pas seul, car le Christ lui-même est solidaire de tous ceux qui souffrent.
He reveals to the sick and infirm their place in the heart of God and in society, said Benedict XVI. To illustrate his message, he evokes the example of Simon of Cyrene, the African who helped Jesus carry his cross, urging faith communities to stand in solidarity with those who suffer. From Cameroon, Benedict XVI flew to Angola's capital, Luanda, for the second leg of his apostolic trip in the first quarter of 2009, reiterating his message of forgiveness, reconciliation, hope and new life in Christ as he revisited the violent conflict that had marked the history of the Southern African nation. Benedict had two special encounters in Angola, one with young people and another with women. Addressing young people, he said, "You may have your share of difficulties, but you are filled with great hope, great enthusiasm, and a great desire to make a new beginning."
Jovens amigos, guardáis dentro de vos propios a dinámica de futuro.
My young friends, he continued, you hold within yourselves the power to shape the future. I encourage you to look to that future through the eyes of the Apostle John. In his encounter with women, he paid homage to them and for the service that so many women offer to faith, to human dignity, to life, and to the family. In his homily during Mass, concelebrated with the bishops of the countries of Southern Africa, Benedict XVI said, if the African peoples, like ancient Israel, put their hope on the Word of God, rich in their religious and cultural heritage, they will truly be able to build a future of reconciliation and stable peace for all. In both Cameroon and Angola, Benedict XVI met with their episcopates, and bearing in mind the then ongoing Pauline year, he reflected on the urgent need for evangelization, which he said is primarily incumbent on the bishops themselves, and stressed the collegial dimension based on sacramental communion. He urged them to always be an example to their priests and to all the faithful, and to take an interest in the formation of seminarians. Benedict XVI's visit to Africa 16 years ago this month was a journey of faith, hope, and encouragement. His words continue to resonate, reminding the continent that peace, renewal, and unity begin in the heart. And that's all for this edition of the African Synod, the Church Alive in Africa Today. Till the same time next week, I am Festus Tarawali.
And now, our feature, Millennium Appointment. The Food and Agriculture Organization, the FAO, is one of the United Nations agencies that are widely spread around the world, especially in developing countries, where it is helping rural farmers to achieve food security without seeking food handouts from humanitarian organizations. Dr. Ryan Paulson is the director of the Emergencies Department of the FAO. He says there is a need to focus much attention on people who live in rural areas to cope in times of emergencies such as floods, long droughts, and other disasters like the invasion of pests, especially locusts, in parts of Africa, in the earthquakes.
The vast majority of people in need of humanitarian assistance are to be found in rural areas. These are farmers. These are people who are attached to the land, or they're fisher folk, right? And so that's the starting point we need for our emergency response. Fundamentally, it's about putting resources in the hands of affected farming families. This means, for example, seeds, tools, technical assistance to allow them to plant for a coming season. It means keeping animals alive during a drought period or during a winter, and we do that through provision of emergency animal feed, even medical assistance, veterinary assistance to animals to keep these precious assets alive. Often it's also about just putting cash in the hands of people. I mean, these activities together are usually what people need to get through a difficult period.
Dr. Paulson told reporters in Rome recently that in disaster-prone countries, humanitarian response should not only consist in giving out food, it should also include preparing people early enough for emergencies, especially now when different parts of the world are experiencing the effects of climate change. This is because early preparations before disaster strikes is less costly in terms of human lives and resources.
Early detection, treatment, allows us to respond at scale. Why wait until the disaster happens before you respond? From a human dignity perspective, who wouldn't rather be able to protect themselves, their families, rather than have to wait for a handout or wait for assistance after a disaster took place? It's a cost-effective way to respond.
Giving examples on how it is important to anticipate disasters, Dr. Paulson said Somalia in Eastern Africa is one of the countries in the world which need this kind of help because it is often a victim of long droughts that leave hundreds of thousands of people without food.
What we're seeing in the Horn of Africa is an example of early warning analysis and anticipatory action calls going really unheeded. Somalia is a really good example of where a time-sensitive agricultural intervention would enable a family to be able to stay on their land, to not be forced to displace to a camp outside of an urban setting. Our experience in Somalia and elsewhere tells us that if people's animals are still alive, if they have crops in the ground, they've been able to plant seeds, if there are things to tend, more often than not, they will not be forced to flee elsewhere. And so this is the most effective and most dignified response that we can possibly mount.
Some of the emergencies in some countries are caused by armed conflicts. Dr. Paulsen explained how the Food and Agriculture Organization operates in conflict situations.
The way we work in conflict settings is grounded in our technical expertise. Let me give an example from Tigray. FAO, of course, was working in Tigray and working across Ethiopia before the conflict and the fighting erupted. And in a context where there was conflict unfolding, people were still able to grow. Farmers in Tigray, with support from FAO and others, produced 900,000 metric tons of food. So equivalent to 6 to 7 months of the food requirements of that region.
That was Dr. Ryan Paulsen, the director of the Emergencies Department of the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, the FAO. You have been listening to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tomosime. In your next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature, Justice and Peace. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.